We all know the halacha that to achieve forgiveness for a sin that we commit with another person, ben adam l'chaveiro, so we need to ask them for forgiveness. We can cry and plead with God as much as we want. That's all wonderful when what we've done wrong was to God. But when we've hurt our friend, we must turn to them for forgiveness. I would like to discuss with you today 5 related questions to this issue. And we'll see that, hopefully, through these questions, we'll have a better understanding of this halacha. Number 1, do you have to forgive? Somebody has wronged me, they've hurt me, I'm in pain. They ask me for forgiveness. Do they have to? And let's assume they're genuine. Obviously, if they're not, so I wouldn't have to. But they genuinely express remorse. Do I have to forgive them? My pain is still there. Just because they've said, I'm sorry, that doesn't mean my pain has gone away. Do I have to forgive? Right? To forgive is divine. So am I obligated to forgive? That's question number 1. Question number 2 is, if I am obligated to forgive, to what extent must I forgive? In other words, I could say to them, I am mochel you. You ask for mechila, I'm mochel. But what exactly does that mean? Those are the first 2 questions. So to answer this, take a look at the first source. It's a Mishnah in Bava Kamma. Source number 1. Afal pishu hu nosein lo. Even if you've given him that which you owe him. What that means is, if I've damaged somebody, let's say I punched them in the face. So I punched Chaim in the face, I have to pay a lot of money. Nezek, tzar, ripui, shevis, and boshes, I have to pay for the physical harm I've caused him. I have to compensate him for his pain, for his busha, the embarrassment, I've paid him. But even though you've paid him, ein nimchal, you're not forgiven, ad shivakesh mimenu, until you ask for forgiveness. Shenemar, ve'ata hashev eishes v'gomer. That is a pasuk from the story of Avram and Avimelech. We know Avimelech took Sarah. Avimelech is plagued. God appears to Avimelech and he tells him, if you return Sarah, then Avraham will pray for you and you'll be healed. The Mishnah continues, Uminayin shim lo machalo shuach sari. How do I know if you don't forgive, if you're not mochel, you're considered an achzari, cruel, shenamar, vayispalel Avraham el ha'elokim, vayirpa elokim es Avimelech. That Avram prayed and Avimelech was healed. So I don't understand this Mishnah one bit. I have to admit, I read this Mishnah, I looked at Rashi, I didn't understand it at all. There are 3 things that don't make any sense. Number one, how does Hashem's statement to Avimelech, saying, return Sarah and Avram will pray, prove that you're not forgiven until you request forgiveness? One thing has nothing to do with the other. Right, again, the Mishnah says, I will prove to you that you're not forgiven until you ask forgiveness, as the Pasuk says. So the Pasuk has to prove this, right? As the Pasuk says, and now return Sarah. Great. How does the Pasuk prove that you have to ask forgiveness? Question number 2. Why is it achzarius not to forgive? Why is it cruel? I understand that forgiving someone is generous. It's kind. When somebody has done something wrong, they ask me for forgiveness, it is a generous thing to forgive them. But how could you say that failure to forgive is cruel? Where is the cruelty? Like we said before, they hurt me. I might still be in pain. Where is the cruelty? And finally, number 3, is how could we prove anything from Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu was the epitome of chesed. The epitome of chesed. He used to go wait outside his tent in the heat of day looking for visitors. Now, would we say that someone who doesn't do that is achzari? No. They're not cruel. They might not have reached the epitome of kindness as Avram did, but they're not cruel. So we're saying that because Avram prayed for Avimelech, if you don't do that, you're cruel. Maybe if you don't do that, you're not on the level of Avram Avinu. How do I know you're cruel? So those are the three questions. So I have to admit, when I read this Mishnah, I was baffled until I read the Me'iri, which is source 2. And the Me'iri, I think, answers these questions. Amar HaMe'iri. Afal pi shenosein lo kol deme hachavalos, eno nimchalo, achivakish mimenu mechila, al tzaro, ratalomar, al shedag belibo al klono, v'afilu esvad al chataso, kol shebeino ven chavero, eno nimcha achivakish mimenu mechila. So the first thing that Me'iri points out is an important point, which is that even when you pay, the payments that you're obligated to give don't really cover what the person has experienced. You may pay him nezek, tzar, ripoy, shavis, and boshis. Does it really cover his pain? It does not. And therefore, you're not forgiven until you ask. V'hu shenemar b'avimelech, hashev eishas ha'ish, ki navihu, v'yispalel b'adcha kilomar, shetivakesh mimenu, ad shiyumcha l'cha b'lev shalem, believe tov kol kach sheim ispalo be'adcha. Here's the proof. The pasuk says that you're going to return Sarah to Avram, and Avram is going to pray for you, and then you'll be healed. The implication is that you won't be healed until he prays for you. Not just because he's prayed, and he's a big tzaddik, so if he prays, his tefillos will be answered, but on a much more basic level. You will only be forgiven when he has forgiven you to such an extent that he would pray on your behalf. And if I pray on behalf of someone who hurts me, that would surely be an indication that I've forgiven them. That is the degree to which you have to be forgiven. And that's the proof. The proof is, what does the pasuk say? When will you be healed? When will everything be okay? When he prays for you. That is the degree to which you must forgive. So the Me'iri explains, that's what we learn from this pasuk. The pasuk teaches us that to be forgiven, the person must totally and utterly forgive you to the point that he would pray on your behalf. So that's answered the first question. But still, why is it achzarius? That was our second question. Continues the Me'iri. Vimlo machalo, nikra achzari, ha'u uvikesh mimenu karawi, since he's asked appropriately, of course you have to ask appropriately, an insincere apology doesn't do very much, but if he has asked appropriately, you're an achzari. Why? Shenimtza she'eno choshesh al onesh chavero, because it shows you don't care about his onesh. What does that mean? The Me'iri is explaining, like in the story of Avimelech, if somebody has hurt me, they will suffer on my account. In this world, in the next world, we don't know. But if somebody has done an avera towards me, they're going to suffer. They're going to cry. And if they've apologized, and appropriately apologized, and they have regret and remorse, for me not to forgive is cruel, because they're going to be suffering, and I can save them from suffering, and I'm not. Right? We'd all agree it's cruel if you see somebody in distress, see someone in pain, and you could put them out of their misery, you could help them, you could protect them, and you don't, that's cruel. When somebody has hurt me, they're going to suffer. If they've asked for forgiveness, and I don't grant them that forgiveness, and they're sincere in their request, in their apology, that is cruel. That's what the Mishnah says. Okay, what about our third question? Just because Avram did it, how does that mean? What does that mean for us? The Me'iri continues. V'kvayadata shemidas harachmanos nisyachsa la'avra avinu v'chol she'eno nimshach b'zech achar midosav nikra achzari. The Me'iri says an incredible thing. We'll see the Rambam elaborates. We are not just genealogical descendants of Avram Avinu, but we have inherited his midos. Avram Avinu is our forefather, and we are his descendants. We carry on his legacy. We have his traits. And if Avram Avinu was able to be generous in forgiveness, then we can. And not only can we, but it's natural for us. You know, if I naturally want to help somebody, and then I overcome that natural temptation to help and refuse to help, that would be achzarius, that would be cruel. We naturally want to help. We naturally want to forgive because we're a descendant of Avraham Avinu. And if we don't, so that's achzarius, because we have inherited his genes, as it were, his legacy. We have it within us to forgive. The Rambam elaborates upon this and clarifies, I think, the questions that we asked even further. Take a look at source number 3. The Rambam actually passes this halacha in 3 places, source number 3, 4, and 5. We'll start with source number 3. The beginning, in the first sentence, he explains that as opposed to when I injure somebody's property, then it's sufficient to pay them back. When I've caused them bodily harm and even emotional harm, it's not sufficient to pay. I must ask forgiveness. Says the Rambam in the second sentence, V'asur l'nech balios achzari. The injured party, the victim, may not be cruel, the lo yimcholo, and refuse to forgive. V'ein zu derech zera Yisrael. This is not the way of the Jewish people. The Meiri, the Rambam, like the Meiri, is picking up on what the Mishnah said. We learn this from Avram. We are able to be like Avram. We are able to be generous in our forgiveness. That is the way of Avram. That is the way of the Jewish people. Elakevan shebikesh mimenu hachovel v'nischanin lo pam rishona v'shnia. Since when the victim has requested forgiveness and pleaded for forgiveness once, twice, v'yada shehu shav mechato v'nicham al ra'aso, and you know, you, the victim, know that the perpetrator is genuinely remorseful, he feels bad, has regret, yimcholo, you must forgive. V'chol ha-mimaher limchol, and if you do so quickly, meaning to say, even if you're not 100% sure, what must you do? What you must do, according to Rambam, is if somebody really is contrite, and you know they have remorse, you must forgive, says the Rambam. Not to do so is cruel. If you're mimaher, even if you're not sure, but they've asked you for forgiveness, so if you forgive them, harei zeh meshubach, that is praiseworthy. V'ruach hachamim nochaimenu. Meaning to say, what must you do? What you must do is, if you know they are contrite, you must forgive them. That is what we have inherited from Avraham Avinu. That is the way of the Jewish people, to be generous in our forgiveness. And if you are mimaher, if you forgive even when perhaps you're not so sure, they really appreciate what they've done. They really know how much pain they've caused. That is meshubach. That is praiseworthy. Now, I want to stress something here that's very important. This is not easy. The Rambam, the Mishnah, they're not saying that you should forgive and it's easy. It might be easy to forgive if somebody has caused me minor harm. They did a little thing. They insulted me. They said, you know, embarrassed me with a joke. Okay, that's to forgive them, especially if I know they feel bad, that isn't so hard. But there are times when somebody's really caused me pain, that forgiving them, even if I know they are contrite, is not easy. When the Rambam writes that this is what we must do, the Rambam, the Torah, is asking a lot of us. It's asking us to be generous in our forgiveness, to forgive even when we know that we have been caused pain, when, at the very least, we know that the perpetrator is in fact remorseful, is in fact contrite. The Rambam echoes this In the next source, source number 4, we'll again read Halacha Yud, the second paragraph. This is from Hilchos Tshuva. Asur la'adam lios achzari velo yispayes. A person must not be cruel and refuse to be appeased. Aliyeh noach l'ratzos v'kasha l'chos. You have to be easily appeased and difficult to anger. V'shash mevakish mimenu. And when you're asked, hachote l'vo. And when you're asked to forgive, mochel b'leiv shalem uvenefesh chafetza. You must forgive b'leiv shalem, meaning to say it shouldn't be a half-hearted forgiveness. It shouldn't be a partial forgiveness. It must be forgiveness b'leiv shalem uvenefesh chafetza. What does that mean? Nefesh chafetza, I really have to want to do it. Not just begrudgingly, not just because he's asked, but to have a strong desire to forgive. And this again, where'd the Rambam get it from? Where in Shas does it say you have to forgive b'leiv shalem uvenefesh chafetza? I think the answer is our Mishnah. We learn it from Avram Avinu. The Mishnah tells us, as we saw from the Meiri, that you have to forgive someone to such a degree that you will pray on their behalf. You are concerned about them and their pain. That's b'leiv shalem uvenefesh chafetza. You must forgive them wholeheartedly, and not just wholeheartedly, but want to forgive them. I know someone who did something I'm not even sure was wrong. He asked for forgiveness, and the person forgave him. 20 years later, he went and asked again. Why? He already was forgiven. Answer is, he was concerned that maybe 20 years ago, when the wound was perhaps still fresh, his friend forgave him, he was Meichel, but it wasn't b'leiv shalem uvenefesh chafetza. So 20 years later, after the dust had settled, he asked again. That is what we must do. And again, it's hard. It's hard. It's not that hard to say I'm Meichel, but to be Meichel with generosity, leiv shalem v'nefesh chafetza, that's extraordinary. That's what we learn from Avram Avinu. That is the legacy of Avram that we're meant to carry on. And the Rambam again echoes this in the next source. But I'd like to turn now to my next question. And that is the following. There's a prayer that we say as part of Tefillah Zakah. Tefillah Zakah is that long thing that's printed in the Machzorim before Kol Nidre. And most people like me arrive in Shul just in time for Kol Nidre. You know, you're planning to get to Shul on time, with time to sit and think before Tefillah Zakah, but some reason it never works out. It's just one more call to make, or washing the dishes from the meal. But it's a beautiful prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. And if you can arrive to Shul a couple minutes before Kol Nidre, it's worthwhile. And part of that prayer is a paragraph in which we say, we forgive anyone that's harmed us. More or less, that's what the paragraph says. And the Chafetz Chaim actually was so into that, he moved it up, because since the Tefillah Zakah was so long, nobody really finishes it, so it should be towards the beginning, so you're going to say it. We forgive everybody. So my question for you is, does that work? Let's imagine everybody gets to Shul on time. Everybody says that would be miraculous in its own right. Right? Everybody says Tefillah Zakah. Everybody says, I hereby forgive everybody for all that they've done. Will that achieve the goal of there being total forgiveness? So let's take a look. Let's take a look. Source number 6. This is the Mishnah that we read before. Afal pishu no seno, ein nimchalo ad shivakesh mimenu. The Mishnah says, you're not forgiven until when? Until you ask. The implication is that even if he forgives you beforehand, he or she might be very nice. They say, yeah, even though he didn't ask me, I'm going to forgive. Eino nimchal ad shivakesh mimenu. You have to apologize. And you're not forgiven without that. Likewise, source number 7, the Mishnah Yoma. Averish ben adam lamakom en Yom Kippur en mechaper. Sorry, Yom Kippur mechaper. Averish ben adam lachavero en Yom Kippur mechaper ad shirat es chavero. You have to appease your friend. if you've hurt someone, you must appease them. The implication is if they forgive you, even though you didn't ask, that's not enough. Likewise, source number, where are we up to? 9. A Gemara in Maseches Yoma. This is a fascinating Gemara. The story says, Reb Zeira, ki have milsa b'hade inish, have chalef v'tani l'kamei, uman silei, ki hechi d'nesi v'nefok le midaite. If somebody did something to Reb Zeira, they insulted him, they hurt him, or the like, Reb Zeira would go out of his way to make himself available to them so they would ask him for forgiveness. Why? Reb Zeira was a tzaddik. Like we saw before, he didn't want anyone to suffer on his behalf. And so he would make himself available to them so they would ask him for forgiveness and he would forgive them. So I have an obvious question. Why did he bother? Why didn't he just say that prayer? Right? I forgive everybody! And then everybody would be forgiven. Why did he have to go out of his way to give them an opportunity to apologize, if his whole point was for them to forgive, for them to be forgiven, so he should have been mochel. Even more startling, the next story from Rav, I'll just tell you outside. The story is about Rav. Once there was someone who did something to Rav. The fellow never apologized. Erev Yom Kippur, Rav remembered, this guy didn't apologize. He wanted to help him out. He goes to see him. So he would apologize. On his way there, Rav Huna sees Rav. He said, you know, you're going to kill this guy. Rav says, what? So Rav goes, it was a butcher. The butcher is breaking apart the skull of a cow. It's hard work. And he sees Rav, and he says, Abba, I don't have anything to do with you. I don't want anything to do with you. In other words, he doesn't ask for forgiveness. The story continues that while butchering this skull, a bone flew out and killed the guy. So again, what was Rav doing? Rav was trying to get the guy to apologize, to help him. So if all he needed to do was forgive, he should have just said, Amocha. What this Gemara clearly indicates is that if you're mochel, that's very nice. I'm sure saying the prayer is a good idea. It's not going to hurt. But for a person to be fully forgiven, they have to apologize. And even if the victim says, I forgive you, if the perpetrator doesn't apologize, they're not fully forgiven. They're not fully forgiven. That's what this Gemara implies. Now, this idea leads to one of the most perplexing questions in this whole sugya. And the perplexing question is as follows. What if I have hurt somebody, but they don't know I've hurt them? Let's imagine I said Lashon Hara about somebody. I said Lashon Hara about my good friend Chaim. And he's been hurt by the Lashon Hara. His reputation is tarnished. He doesn't know, but he has been hurt. So what do? I've hurt him, so I want to go apologize. But I know that if I apologize, he'll be in even more pain. You, my good friend, double-crossed me, and now he'll be worried, all these people talking about him. If I apologize, I'm not going to make things better. I'm going to make things worse. Obviously, most of the time, this isn't the case. Usually, apologies help. But there are times, there are perhaps rare instances, but there are certainly times when if you apologize, you're going to make things worse. So what do you do? You're in a real pickle, right? On the one hand, if I don't apologize, we've seen I'm not going to be forgiven. And even if he forgives me, but he doesn't know what I did. So if I don't apologize, I'm not forgiven. If I do apologize, I'm going to cause him pain. What to do? The Chafetz Chaim writes, an unbelievable psak. Source number 10. Even if you know, your friend doesn't know, you have to tell him. And that is the case even if it's going to cause him pain. And he proves this from a passage in Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, which says if you say Lashon Hara about somebody, to be forgiven, you have to ask forgiveness. That's what the Chafetz Chaim rules. And even though in the Mishneh Berurah he says, if revealing the specifics is going to cause pain, you don't have to reveal the specifics, but that's when he knows what you did. So an apology is enough, a general apology. But if he doesn't know, you have to tell him. There's a famous story about this ruling. When the Chafetz Chaim wrote the work, the Chafetz Chaim, he went to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter to ask for a haskama. Rabbi Yisrael says, okay, well, let me see the manuscript. You know, sometimes I think people write haskamos without reading the book. But not Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So he read the manuscript. 3 days later, he comes back to the Chafetz Chaim. He says to him, I liked everything you wrote in this work except for this halacha. How can you cause him pain? It's bad enough you told him, you told Lashon Hara about him. Now you're going to go ahead and hurt him more by apologizing? It's inconceivable. What about Rabbeinu Yonah? The Chafetz Chaim said. Rabbeinu Yonah, it doesn't sound this way, but it must be talking about a case where the guy knows. If he knows already, apologizing will make him feel better. But if he doesn't know, and apologizing will cause pain, chas v'shalom. How can you ask for forgiveness? How could you hurt him? So the Chafetz Chaim said, and the story is recorded, among other places, in Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's book, Prach Mat Aaron, source number 11. Rav Aaron the Chafetz Chaim says to himself, okay, so write a haskama, and just write, you know, I don't agree with this halacha. So Rabbi Yisrael said, but people will read the book, they won't read the haskama. Who reads haskamas? It'll be lifnei yiver lo siter mechshol. And so if you look in Sefer Chafetz Chaim, you'll see haskamos, a bunch of haskamos from all sorts of gedolim, none of whom you've probably ever heard of. You will not see Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's haskama. He wouldn't give the haskama. He thought this halacha was wrong. So now we have a question. Because Rabbeinu Yonah perhaps supports the Chafetz Chaim, perhaps it doesn't. But what about all the proofs we brought before? The Mishnah in Bava Kama, the Mishnah in Yuma, the Gemara in Yuma. Don't all of them clearly support the Chafetz Chaim? He doesn't bring those proofs, but I think they're good proofs. They show that you're not forgiven ad shivakesh. You need to ask. You need to ask. Isn't that clear evidence the Chafetz Chaim was right? So the question is, what did Rabbi Yisrael Salanter really think? Did Rabbi Yisrael Salanter agree to the Chafetz Chaim that you're not forgiven unless you ask? He just thought you can't ask. Or did he say, no, you're forgiven in this case without asking? So we don't know for sure, because the story is, we don't have any first-hand accounts of the story, as far as I know. But a number of sources tell us, take for example, source number 12, that, this is from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter agreed to the Chafetz Chaim, you're not forgiven if you don't apologize. You're certainly not fully forgiven if you don't apologize. But lav kol kamina, you have no right to apologize. I can't cause you harm. It was bad enough I said Lashon Hara about you the first time. I can't cause you more pain by apologizing. He agrees. In other words, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is not a kula, he's a chumra, as it were. You may not ask for forgiveness, but don't think you're forgiven because you didn't apologize. You're stuck. You have no choice. That's why saying Lashon Hara is a really bad idea. Besides all the other reasons. Because you can't even ask for mechila. Sometimes. That is the question. That is the psak of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And I think most poskim accept Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, including Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach over there. And Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in the previous source. So, this was troubling me. This, you know, you're really stuck. I need to apologize. I can't apologize. So I mentioned that I was troubled to Rabbi Willig, who said he thinks that Rav Usher Weiss says something about this. So I looked and I found a piece in the Minchas Asher, which is source, next source, source number 13. And I have to admit, I saw this source, it was on Thursday. I was in the waiting room at the dentist. My daughter had a dentist appointment, and sitting there, I read this piece. I almost fell off my chair. She thought I was crazy. But what does he say? Nearly. Delo amru detarch leratus es chavero ela kasher al yidei kein yehanehu keneged asher tsa'aro upagabo. You only have to ask forgiveness in the event that that's going to help, since you caused him pain. Aval kasher beritzu yze yosef letzaro ein mitzvah klal leratoso. But if it's going to cause him more pain, there's no mitzvah to appease him. De'eino elamo sechet al pesha beritzuyav. You're adding fuel to the fire with your apology. De'alach hazu shamu chazal. De'aver shbeinadamu chavero ein niskaper lo. Ad shiratas chavero. Ein ze mishum shechavero hu ze shiyoch lahatzil o limnoa kapara. De'ach adu tachas alokimu. When you have to ask for mechila, is it the pshat, is the idea that he really has the ability to forgive? Is he in place of God? God is the one who forgives. Velo chazinan, de'imritzuhu shalosh pa'amin, velo machalo, shuv eno tzarach lizratzoso, umiskaperlo. If you've apologized three times, and he refuses to forgive you, so you don't have to ask again, and you're forgiven. Ela dezeh chelek minyan hatshuva, shiratzeyu tachas, shetzara upagabo. Umishon kach mistaber, therefore it makes sense. Demaritu Yosef letzaro ein tzarach leratzoso. If it's going to cause him more pain when you apologize, you don't have to. Umemelo she'en aritu ma'akev kaparaso klal, and therefore you're forgiven. Kein nerel niestai dibar. Wow. Says Rabbi Yisrael, says Rav Asher Weiss, the Chafetz Chaim is wrong, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is wrong. Well, does he have any proof? Right, especially because we brought a lot of proof against him. So he brings one piece of evidence. One piece of evidence. The piece of evidence, it's a... And this is all he says. It's a very short piece. It's what we have, source number 14. The Gemara says over here that once you've apologized three times, you don't have to apologize again, and perhaps you shouldn't apologize again. Now that source in and of itself isn't definitive. Because you could say, okay, you don't have to keep on going back. Doesn't mean you're forgiven. But the Pri Chadash I found afterwards, which is the next source, says, 15, it says, not only do you not have to ask again, but you are forgiven. Once you've apologized genuinely, appropriately, three times, if the other party still refuses, you're forgiven anyway. And he deduces that from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ad she'iratzeh chavero, it doesn't say ad she'yisratzeh, until you ask. It doesn't say yisratzeh, which would indicate that he has to actually be forgiving. So Rav Asher Weiss says, look, once you've done your part, you're forgiven. And perhaps you can bring further proof for this from the next source, number 16. The Gemara says that if you've hurt somebody and they've died, you take 10 people to their kever, and you say, Chatasi l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael v'laploni shechavalti bo. I know someone actually that did that. And now again, you could say, well, who says it works? But the Mishnah Berurah, in the next source, quotes the El Yerabah saying, the 10 people respond, Machalucha, 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 implying that you are forgiven. Again, why? Why? He didn't forgive you. What this indicates is if you've done what you can to apologize, to repent, you've done everything you can, then you're forgiven. Even if the other party doesn't forgive you. Why? Because he's dead. Now, that seems to be a proof. But what's so interesting is the theological justification that he suggests. What's the theological justification for this idea? So he says it's because who's really forgiving us? It's God. God only forgives us if we do all that we can to seek forgiveness. Once we've done all we can to our friend, then God forgives us. We must do all we can to repair the wrong, to make the other person feel better. We have to do everything we can. But if we've done what we can, then ultimately it's God who forgives us. It's not the other person. Are there any proofs for that? So take a look. I found a Ravid. Source number 18, the Ravid writes, Aval zesh niskavim letzaro, eino yotzi de shemaim. It's on the same Gemara in Bava Kama that we saw before. Ad shiyafayis es chaveiro. You're not yotzi de shemaim unless you're mefayis es chaveiro. Meaning to say, who is forgiving? It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And likewise, which I think is an explicit source supporting Rav Asher's idea, the Gemara in Bava Kama, number 19, says, and likewise the Rambam echoes this in number 20, it says that if you go ahead and you've hurt your friend, even if you bring all the karbanos in the world, the most wonderful karbanos, you're not forgiven until you apologize. Now, why would I have thought that bringing a karban to God would help? I heard him. You should bring him a karban. The answer is, it's not true. But because it's God who forgives, you would have thought karbanos work. The answer is, God says, I don't forgive you until you're meratzeh es chaveiro. Likewise, source. Now we have to go through these quickly. There's a lot here, but we're almost out of time. Source number 22, the Shulchan Aruch writes that once you go and you've apologized appropriately three times, then if he refuses to forgive, Yomar Achar Kach Lefnei Asara Shebikesh Mimenu Mechila. Why does that work to go before 10 people and ask for Mechila? After all, I've hurt him. The answer is, if you look at the Mordechai, the source for this halacha, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roeh Shehishpil Atzmo Merachem Alav, cited in Agra as well, source number 24. What does that mean? It means, and what's the general reason why people don't ask for forgiveness? Because either we're embarrassed, or because we think we're right, or arrogant, whatever it is. But once you show that you're not embarrassed, you did apologize, you're not arrogant, you've done what you could, you are contrite, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roeh Shehishpil Atzmo, and he's mochel, meaning to say, ultimately, once you're mashpil atzma, once you've done what you can, it is God who forgives. One last source, one last idea, fifth question. And we'll say this very quickly. Let's imagine that somebody is very offended by something I did or said. I'm in the right. I did something that was totally okay. I did nothing wrong. But still, they're offended. Do I have to apologize? The Sfas Emes shows from a Gemara, it's source number 25. We don't have time to read it. But the Gemara says that once Rav was teaching the Parsha, somebody came in, he started again. Somebody came in later, he started again. Somebody came in, he started again. Finally, a fourth time, somebody comes in, and he, like, it's ridiculous already. He doesn't start again. The guy was insulted. There's no reason why he should have been insulted. Rav didn't do anything wrong, but he was still offended. People got offended. And it says that Rav apologized. Why? Says the Sfas Emes, we see from here that even if you think you're in the right, somebody's offended, somebody's hurt, somebody's insulted, you should still apologize. Why? Two reasons, I assume. Number one, because that's the only thing that's going to restore peace. And number two, more fundamentally, in most fights, both people, and these could be good people, reasonably think they're right. Both people think they're right. And so if we say that you only have to make up, you only have to apologize if you're wrong, then the fights will go on forever because everybody thinks they're right. And if there's going to be shalom, there's really going to be peace, even though you really think you're right, make the move. Apologize. that requires humility. That's hard. You're right. Why should I do it? He should come to me. That is, at the very least, what Rav did. That's extraordinary. And we'll close with this. Imagine a world. Imagine a world where every time somebody hurts somebody else, they genuinely ask for mechila. And imagine a world where every time somebody is hurt, and the other person genuinely asks for mechila, they forgive. And they don't just forgive superficially, but they forgive genuinely and generously. And imagine a world in which when one person offends somebody else or causes them pain or harm, even if they're in the right, they ask for forgiveness. They turn and they apologize. That would be an amazing world. That would be a world of peace. That would be a world of harmony. Because as humans, we do inevitably cause each other pain. We hurt each other knowingly, unknowingly, small ways and in big ways, all the time. And in a world where everybody had this attitude, that would be a wonderful world to live in. And we could all do our part to bring that world a little closer. If we take that first step, if we apologize sincerely to those we've harmed, and perhaps even to those they've messed up, then we could bring that world a little closer. And when we go before God in a couple days on Yom Kippur, we could say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, we live in a world of peace. We've all forgiven each other. Please, God, can you also forgive us? Everyone should have a Gmar Chasima Tova and a wonderful year.